Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This series of 15 podcasts is called Managing Professionals, Attitudes, Skills, and Behaviors. It's designed to help people who have the responsibility for managing a group of professionals. This ninth episode is called Deal Differently with Different People and is based on my book, First Among Equals, co-authored with Patrick McKenna. In previous episodes, we've discussed coaching and the characteristics of a good manager. Now we're going to explore how you recognize the differences among the people you manage and how you can respond to each person differently. Not every individual can be managed or inspired the same way. A manager must learn to deal with each individual according to the things that energize that specific person. Consider, just to take one example, the concept of being committed, commitment. You have to be committed to something. What could someone be committed to beyond their own short-term self-interest? Here are some options. Some people might be committed to what your group is trying to accomplish, that is, to your strategy. They want to be part of achieving that vision and will give of themselves beyond the norm to achieve it. Alas, not everyone can be reached this way. Some people, including me, are impervious to the vision thing. On the other hand, other individuals may feel a strong loyalty to the group, independent of its strategy, and will go the extra mile to demonstrate their commitment to the group. Of course, not many people are susceptible to appeals to vision or to loyalty. But among this group, there might be some who do feel a commitment to a third thing, and that's you. Perhaps there was a time when you were particularly helpful to this person, and they feel that they're in your debt. They won't knock themselves out for the group or for a vision, but they'll do whatever you ask out of a sense of gratitude to you. Sad to say, some of your people do not feel this way about you. Are they lost souls? Not at all. Their commitment might be to their colleagues or co-workers. They will stay late to contribute, not for you, not for the vision, not for the team, but out of a sense of being in this together. Then there are the non-team players who are immune to this appeal. Can you still get their enthusiasm? Absolutely. There are people who feel a strong sense of responsibility. Responsibility for those who work for them, i.e. their subordinates. And they'll try mightily to ensure that the subordinates are looked after. But what if someone doesn't respond to vision, loyalty, gratitude, team spirit, or responsibility? Are there yet other alternatives? Well, I can think of two more. First, a commitment to the client. Some people will do everything they're supposed to, and more, not out of loyalty to the group or firm, but because they truly believe in looking after their clients and their clients' interests. Finally, there are those that don't respond to any of the appeals that we've discussed, but these people you still can get on the hook with the challenge, bet you can't do this. Such people's commitment is to their professional pride. What all this shows is that people are different and must not all be treated the same. A manager needs two skills here. First, the ability to recognize in each individual what their hot buttons are, and second, the interpersonal or verbal skill to engage or push that particular hot button when dealing with that particular person. Now, there are ways of thinking about types of people that can help you get started in understanding each individual person you meet. One way is to use what's called the Styles Grid, which divides all of us into one of four types of human being. An analytical, who wants to get it right. A driver, who wants to get it done. An amiable, who wants to get along, and then finally, an expressive who wants to get noticed. Obviously, this is a simplified approach, and I should point out immediately that the scheme is borrowed from other people and is not original to me. Nevertheless, it can be a very helpful model to use approaches like this to understand how individuals are best responded to. So let's dig in and start with the analytical types. Analyticals who want to get it right are those people for whom details and facts are the most persuasive things. They crave data, the more the better, often agonizing over decisions, wanting to be certain of making the right choice. They're well organized and can usually be found in their office, with the door probably closed. An analytical is more likely to ask pertinent questions than to make statements. He or she tends to be formal and proper, always likes to know where he or she is going, prefers written communications, and may proceed carefully when taking the next step. They enjoy working with complex situations. Analyticals often seem to place a higher priority on the task to be accomplished than on their relationships. They strive for accuracy and expect it in others. They have perfectionist tendencies, set high standards, are often hard on themselves, but are willing to do the time-consuming work needed to achieve or exceed those standards. Now, to build a coaching relationship with an analytical, you need to be well-organized and clear and explain your thoughts systematically. And you should expect to be asked a lot of questions about the situation or the subject at hand. You gain credibility when the analytical sees that you have chased down every detail. Be prepared to listen to far more than you may want to know as he or she explains ideas or progress in what may seem like overwhelming detail. Analyticals value punctuality, work hard to be on time with memos, calls, meetings, and everything else. In one-on-one meetings, it's usually appropriate for you to spend a little time on openers, but keep it brief, don't make it too personal, and then get right into what you're there to talk about. Analytics will expect you to be prepared, so don't wing it. Dig up all the data you might need and anticipate the questions you may be asked. Even for one-on-one meetings, analytics like to see you having a written agenda. If you do have an agenda, ensure that you get it to this person in advance so that he or she can think about the topics beforehand. When proposing a course of action, mention the advantages, but be sure to identify the downsides as well. The analytic or analytical will respect you for doing that and wants to consider all the available alternatives. Analytics particularly dislike change because they view the future as an unknowable variable where things can go wrong. Allow them to investigate possible repercussions so that they can get more comfortable with possible changes. When correcting behavior, specify the exact behavior that needs to be changed and establish agreed-upon checkpoints. Allow analytics or analyticals to save face as they fear being wrong. When you don't agree with something, try an approach that's like, "I'd just like to play devil's advocate with you for a minute." When giving an analytical recognition, recognize that they prefer more private communicated, specific feedback. These people are usually very hard on themselves, so keep your feedback simple and concise. Mention their efficiency, their thought process, their organization, their persistence, and their accuracy. Now let's turn to the second group, the drivers, those who want to get it done. Drivers are people who are most comfortable when they're in control of themselves, the work environment, and their client transactions. They want quick action, tangible results, and pride themselves on their bottom-line orientation. Drivers speak in forceful tones and are far more comfortable with verbal than with written communications. A driver may give in to impatience and rely on educated guesses or hunches rather than facts. You can expect drivers to be more likely to change their minds and surprise other people with abrupt changes in thinking and sudden shifts of direction. This individual wants to direct any conversation towards important tasks and goals. "I think we'll implement this tomorrow," or "I think this discussion's over." Drivers can intimidate the less assertive members of your group. Drivers are outspoken, no-nonsense, take-control types. They're usually very busy people. They can pick up multiple projects, keep them all in the air at the same time, and juggle them faster than the eye can see. To build your coaching relationship with these people, you need to help them maintain control. When meeting with a driver, give him or her your complete attention. A positive approach would be to ask what the problems or concerns are. Ask direct fact-finding questions, consistent with your original reason for the meeting. Draw the person out by talking about desired results. Focus on tasks rather than feelings. Ask him or her how he or she would solve the problem. Be prepared to listen to suggestions, the course of action the other person has in mind, and the general things they are considering. Work with drivers to clarify their priorities. In the interest of saving time, unfortunately, drivers will usually try to find shortcuts. You'll need to help them determine the simplest, fastest route to get them to their stated destination. Drivers like to make up their own minds. They'll likely be put off if you simply offer one course of action. Therefore, present any recommendations you have for them with alternatives, together with any documentation or examples that you can offer. Drivers are bare-bones planners, but they are planners nonetheless. They want you to come up with a simple, straightforward, results-oriented guide to action. They take great pride in delivering what they said they would, on standard, on schedule, on budget. To manage a driver is no easy thing because they actually want to manage you. Their preference for change and innovation makes them the natural choice for new frontier programs or practice development efforts where they can implement new ideas. Winning more than anything else motivates drivers. Make sure they understand the need, however, to check in with the group, or they may demonstrate their renegade syndrome. To give recognition to a driver, you need to focus on their achievements and track record. Try to relate some aspect of their personal accomplishment to the group, and any group achievement to them personally. The third type we will look at are the amiables who want to get along. Amiables project sensitivity to other people's feelings. They do exhibit great patience, and they believe it's important that they take the time to establish relationships with people they work with. To a greater degree than others, they are team players, generous with their time, eager to ask questions, and they hope they will get to the core of the matter. Amiables use relationships to achieve results and are skilled at encouraging others to expand on their ideas. They're good at seeing value in other people's contributions, and they're generally interested in, for example, hearing your concerns than expressing their own. An amiable will express a sincere interest in the point-by-point description of what you did yesterday or the sequential pattern of precisely how to complete a certain transaction. They like to approach their client work in a methodical and sequential order. Amiables are not enamored of goal-setting or planning or other business disciplines. Amiables prefer personal interactions to communicating by telephone or memos. They typically express themselves tentatively, defer to the proven way things have always been done, often defer decisions, and feel more comfortable making decisions by conferring with others rather than by themselves. Amiables are great team players and contribute harmony and stability to the group environment. They're skilled at encouraging others to expand on their ideas, good at seeing value in others' contributions, and genuinely more interested in hearing your concerns. To create an effective coaching relationship, expect to have to project sensitivity for their feelings, to exhibit patience, and take the time to establish a relationship. Allow plenty of time to explore their thoughts and feelings. At the outset, you must touch base personally. Amiables will feel less comfortable when the limelight is focused on them. They're apt to keep their opinions to themselves because they don't want to upset anybody. And if you don't exercise good listening skills, amiables will clam up even more. When you're meeting them one-on-one, politely request the amiables' input and opinions on the topics you want to cover. When explaining your thoughts, you need to be always inviting an amiable into the conversation. Do not expect an amiable to verbalize disagreement. Instead, look for changes in body language as a tip as to how he or she may be reacting. If you surmise that she or he has any negative feelings about a proposal, invite the reaction. You could say, "Some people seem leery of part of this plan, and I'm very interested in your thoughts about it." When a problem arises or a decision is needed, make sure to deal with only one subject or situation at a time, one step at a time. Before moving on to other items, make sure an amiable is ready, willing, and able to do so. Deal with matters calmly and in a relaxed manner. When suggesting a different possibility, encourage him or her to share suggestions as to how the eventual decision might be made in a way that is least likely to disrupt things for everybody else. When engaging in corrective discussions, do recognize that amiables tend to take things very personally. Reassure them that you only want to focus on a specific behavior. Point out, if possible, in a non-threatening way, what they are doing well or contributing, while also emphasizing what needs changing. Amiables like to feel that their relationship with others will benefit from their completing a project that is within their responsibility. Therefore, appeal to their need to strengthen relationships. Amiables are often the most helpful people. They frequently drop what they're doing to aid someone who's in a pinch. They'll appreciate it when you spot an opportunity to give them a helping hand when they are under pressure. Acknowledging their contributions to encouraging others in the group, their teamwork, and their dependability. Finally, let's examine the expressives, those who have a need to get noticed. Expressive people are not hesitant about making their presence or feelings known and are generally seen to be very enthusiastic. Expressives are often highly intuitive and can be highly persuasive when they combine their personal power with emotional display. Expressives have a natural preference for talking, often tending to think out loud, skipping from topic to topic in a way that defies logic. They're often seen to monopolize discussions, and when they talk, their whole body joins in. Their varied emotional vocal inflections and their colorful choice of words may tend towards exaggeration. The telephone can be a favorite toy that enables them to prolong conversations, often with personal stories and anecdotes, and to recharge themselves. Expressives are outgoing, flamboyant, tending towards the dramatic, and they enjoy the spotlight. They like glitter, glamour, flash, and excitement. They bristle with energy and are always on the go, enjoy being where the action is, and hate being confined to their desks all day. They prefer to work with others and are great at networking with innumerable contacts who can help them achieve their goals. They tend to be highly creative, visionary, and relish examining the big picture rather than getting mired in the details. They push others to look beyond the merely mundane and practical. When you and the others are hard at work with the nitty-gritty of building the castles that an expressive have dreamed up and sold you on, you may find that he or she is not there working along with you. He or she is off dreaming of other castles. Expressives are impulsive and have a tendency to act first and think later. When meeting one-on-one with expressives, allow enough time for conversation, recognizing that they are inclined to informality. Take a few minutes to build rapport. You need to show expressives that you are interested in them as people. Give them an opening to talk about themselves. Since expressives' emotions have a major impact on what they do, it's critical that you stay in touch with what they're feeling. Recognize that with a tendency to be dramatic, they're likely to exaggerate to make a point. When details are of crucial importance, you need to ensure that they're not being glossed over. Meanwhile, you may have a lot more topics you want to talk about than an expressive wants to listen to. Before your meeting, prune your list to a few essentials, concentrate on the high-priority items, and start by giving him or her an overview of the main points. When coaching, don't give expressives too much at once or they will become overwhelmed. Frequently, they will want to jump in and try before they're ready or before they fully understand everything. Help them channel their enthusiasm with tactful reminders and hands-on assistance to help them prioritize and organize. One technique that can be helpful is to highlight the recommendations of those people you know the expressive looks up to and respects. Expressives like an emotional appeal and like to be pumped about the choices they make and the things they do. Expressives see mental pictures first, then convert those pictures to words. They base decisions on their impulses, gut feelings, and others' testimonials. You need to support their ideas and dreams while showing them how they can transfer their talk into actions. If an expressive disagrees with you, he or she usually comes right out and says so. He or she will expect the same from you. When problems arise, face them and dispose on them as soon as possible. From an expressive's point of view, there is no time like the present to resolve a troubled situation. If you disagree, try not to argue because expressives dislike conflict. You might not win an argument with them anyway because their strong suit is feelings and intuitions. Try to explore alternative solutions. When you reach an agreement, iron out the specific details concerning what, when, who, and how. Then you must absolutely document the agreement since expressives tend to naturally forget such details. This fast-paced person expects you to do whatever you're doing as quickly as possible and wants everything done yesterday. You may expect to experience the hurry-up-and-wait phenomenon as that project or action that seemed so urgent yesterday gathers dust today. Help an expressive put his personal stamp on whatever he does. He or she hates doing the same old thing the same old ways. Try to find new approaches to the way the two of you work together. Expressives will appreciate little special incentives to inspire them to achievement. They like little rewards along the way and may favor shorter tasks with smaller payoffs. Expressives like recognition, so show appreciation for their contribution. It is even better if the appreciation can be expressed publicly. Try to find ways for them to get the recognition they crave and enjoy while making sure that everyone else in the group does get the credit they deserve. Now, I must stress again that this way of viewing different types of people, the four groups we've looked at, is not meant to be definitive, and I must stress that it is borrowed from other authors. However, the message is that you need to develop ways of recognizing the hot buttons that different people have. And any scheme that helps you do that is going to be of value. If this podcast has reminded you of the need to recognize what is unique in each of us, then it's done its job. This has been Deal Differently with Different Types of People, the 9th episode in my 15-part series, Managing Professionals, Attitudes, Skills, Behaviors. In future episodes, we'll look at the topics of dealing with difficult people, formal performance evaluations and compensation schemes, and building teams. If you'd like more information or access to other podcasts in this series or the previous series, Marketing Professional Services, go to my website, davidmaester.com. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set from my website, davidmaester.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.